Welcome to Radical Grace. This is Johnny Tatum, but now I am speaking on behalf of my wife, Connie, who has written a document with the sole intent of clarifying what the gospel is and what the gospel is not. That is, collating Bible verses together that give insight to the meaning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Having grown up in an apostate Protestant church, I did not hear the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. Even as an adult, in my third decade after having made that one-time decision to trust in Jesus as my Savior, I was amazed that the so-called gospel presentations were weak and diluted by words and phrases that do not even appear in the Bible. By the way, a list of these phrases appears at the end of this document. These phrases were stumbling blocks to my understanding of the way, the truth, and the life. Since we clearly teach that the power of the church, that is, the collective body of those who have placed their trust in Jesus, for the erasing of their sins and receiving the gift of eternal life, determines whether our culture is dark or light and the brightness thereof. Clarification of what comprises the good news of Jesus Christ seems paramount. May this collection of verses reveal and even enhance your understanding of the gospel, the good news, Jesus Christ. There are important points to know when presenting the good news of Jesus Christ. 1. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Death is not extinction, it's the separation from God for all eternity. Jesus is God. Jesus is our sin substitute. He took our sins upon himself. Jesus went to the cross and died in our place. Jesus took our penalty of separation for all eternity on our behalf. And every person who makes a one-time decision to trust in Jesus as his Savior has all of his sins erased and receives the gift of eternal life. I'd like to point out that these translations are either from the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, or the United Bible Society's Greek critical text for the New Testament. It is very important to use Scripture when presenting the good news of Jesus Christ, and these verses that follow emphasize that point. Psalm 19:8, the word of the Lord is pure, bringing faith into the soul. Psalm 119:130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119:99, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are what I hum. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. Psalm 18:28, you light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the spoken voice of Christ. That is the word rhema, which means the spoken voice of Christ through Holy Spirit. Psalm 43:3, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. As for God, his way is blameless. The way of the Lord is proven. Psalm 18:30. And Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 6. Every word of God is tested and proven. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Jesus in John 17:17 says, sanctify them. That means set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. Isaiah 55:11, the prophet says, back up. In Isaiah 55:11, God says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now, if we want to understand the full good news of the gospel, we have to understand the bad news. And there is bad news. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And death in the Bible never means extinction. It means separation from God for everybody who does not trust in Jesus as Savior, and that separation is forever. The Bible refers to the second death as those who appear before the great white throne judgment who have not trusted in Jesus as Savior and will be separated from God for eternity. James 2:10 clarifies, all you have to do is sin one time. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. It's James 2:10. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. Back to the New Testament, Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating each other. Jesus in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23 said, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within and defile the man. It's a perfect picture of flesh. And Paul clarifies the problem of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are manifested in these ways: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, thinking stupidly, acting stupidly, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Fortunately, there is good news. And here is the good news. Jesus is God. He is holy and righteous. The one and only person who can deliver a human being from the ultimate consequences of his sin, which is separation from God for all eternity in hell. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and verse 14. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's John chapter 14, verse 6. Paul, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, says, "If you say Jesus is God and trust with your will that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one trusts with the will, producing righteousness. And one agrees," that is, one agrees that he's a sinner, producing salvation. Prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17, 14 said, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved." In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Trust in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." That's Acts 16, 31. More good news. Psalm 50, verse 23, "To him who responds to what he knows, that is, what he knows is true, I will show the salvation of God." Back to the New Testament, 1 Peter 2, 24, "He himself," that's Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we would die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." In Galatians 2, 20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Romans 6:23 gives bad news and good news. Bad news, "For the wages of sin is death." Good news, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever trusts in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, Apostle John says, "If we confess our sins," and that verb tense means a one-time act of confessing your sins, "he is faithful and righteous to erase our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 gives a clear gospel presentation. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, the gift of God." And by the way, the gift of God is our faith. "Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." What a great word of assurance in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, where Paul says, "In all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here is a sample prayer of trusting Jesus as your Savior. "Dear Heavenly Father, according to your word, the Bible, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself from the consequences of my sin. But I choose to trust your word that says, because Jesus loved me, he took my sins in his body in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went to the cross and died in my place as my substitute, paying the penalty for my sins in his body, of being separated in outer darkness from God for all eternity. I am putting my trust in you, Jesus, as my Savior." And here are some verses to read to reinforce the understanding of the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Ephesians 2:8-9, Galatians 2:20, 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6 and 10 through 12, Acts 16:31, John 14:6, and 1 John 5:3. Now, for a thorough explanation of Jesus' actual substitutionary death, go to radicalgrace.com, the Life of Jesus series, and listen to lessons 58 and 59. For those who make this one-time decision to trust in Jesus as Savior, the Bible offers magnificent promises for protection and provision in this life and for a life of ecstasy throughout eternity. Please see the document on the front page of radicalgrace.com entitled Promises for Those Who Trust in Jesus as Savior. But for those who refuse to trust in Jesus as Savior, the Bible gives clear warnings about the horror that awaits them in an eternity in the black emptiness of hell. Please see the document on the front page of radicalgrace.com entitled Warnings for Those Who Reject the Truth. Now, we need to understand why we want to be able to clearly articulate the gospel. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Brothers and sisters, sharpen your swords. Jesus is coming. Now we have seen what the gospel is. Now we need to see what the gospel is not. And please notice, none of these appear in the Bible. All are additions to the gospel, such as ask Jesus in your heart, or commit, or give, or yield, surrender your life to Christ, turn from your sins, make Jesus Lord of your life, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, be willing to follow Jesus in obedience. All are additions to the gospel. A classic so-called gospel presentation is to say, ask Jesus in your heart. This is the first example of a popular saying that is not found in the Bible. It can even be scary for young children who think in concrete terms and images. Some children are actually afraid that a person would be crawling around inside their body. Rather, ask Jesus to be your Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And Galatians 2:20, thank you, Jesus, that you loved me and gave yourself up for me. Another addition to the gospel is this: either commit or give or yield, surrender your life to Christ. These are examples of meaningless phrases, each of which would be nothing more than a work of the flesh. Rather, say, Jesus, I choose to place my trust in you as my Savior. I know that you died on the cross in my place, taking the punishment for my sins. And again, Acts 16:31, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Another false addition to the gospel is that we are told that we should turn from our sins. This is yet another example of a work of the flesh, an impossible task for a human being. If you had the power to turn from your sins, you would not need a Savior. Rather, turn to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life. Again, Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "No one comes to the Father except through Jesus." And possibly the worst addition to the gospel, and the most common, the most absurd, is that we are to make Jesus Lord of our life in order to be saved. You may hear, "Make Jesus Lord of your life." This is an empty phrase, devoid of meaning, as is proven by the fact that no one explains what that even means. What is important is that Jesus is God. No mentally stable human being can claim he is God. It took the holy God-man Jesus Christ dying a bloody death to pay for your sins. Unfortunately, Romans 10, 9 through 10 has been horribly mistranslated in every translation, saying, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." Instead, the correct translation is, "If you say Jesus is God and trust with your will that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one trusts with the will producing righteousness, and one agrees," that is, one agrees that he is a sinner producing salvation. And that is Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. What a difference to realize that God died for you, paying for your sins. And to know that trusting in Jesus as your sin substitute is a decision of your mind and not an emotion. Another false gospel presentation is that we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's just a modified version of, quote, "Make Jesus Lord of your life," unquote. And yet another addition to the gospel. And that is that we are told we must be willing to follow Jesus in obedience. This is another extra biblical man-made command demanding continuous focus on the performance of your flesh. And Paul asks in Galatians 3:3, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" And Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For God is the one bringing it about in you, both the desire and the doing of what pleases him." Now, this verse clearly states that since we do not have the ability to please him, or even the desire to please him, God takes it upon himself to produce our desire. He also takes upon himself the responsibility to produce the desired results in our lives. And here is one final exhortation. Focus on studying God's Word so you can learn how to listen to His voice, which never contradicts His written Word properly translated, and share the good news with others. Psalm 19:8, "The Word of the Lord is pure, bringing faith into the soul." Psalm 119:105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 43:3, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me." John 16:13, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, "Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left." And again, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the spoken voice of Christ. And remember, the word rhema means the spoken voice of Christ through Holy Spirit. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 10 sums it up. God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, that is the good news of Jesus Christ.